Technically speaking.
Welcome to our Technically Untechnical Technology Talk.
A Nywick Atlantic production.
And an award-winning podcast with your hosts, Chelsea Holloway and Alex Jackson.
So, Alex, I had something brand new happen to me that's never happened before recently.
What happened?
I got stung by a jellyfish.
Oh, my gosh.
So, It wasn't too bad. So I'm off the coast of Maryland. We were swimming, having a good time, and I didn't notice at first. So these are like small little jellyfish, but they're all over the place. I didn't realize there were so many of them around this area. And it stung me, and I didn't notice until later. And I was like, my arm just like was like, it felt like I had like a scratch that was like burning and stinging. And then there was one on my leg as well. And I was just like, what is going on? And then we saw the jellyfish and I was like, I got stung by a jellyfish. And then I was like freaking out because the idea of it was like horrible. But it's way less painful than like a bee sting or something. So I figured that one out.
Well, I was wondering. It sounds painful. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not bad. But I was nervous because, you know, my son, my three-year-old was in the water too. And I have no idea how he would have reacted to getting stung by a jellyfish. Not just his emotions, but like his skin. But luckily he didn't get stung. So all good. Have you ever been stung by a jellyfish?
I've never been stung by a jellyfish, but I did get stung by a wasp once on my face.
Oh.
Like right by my eye. So that was really painful.
Oh my gosh.
So I can only imagine what a jellyfish sting would feel like.
A lot less than that, I think.
I hope so.
Yeah. All right. Enough about getting stung by wasps and jellyfish. We're going to move into the topic of this episode today, which is all about a JLTV or Joint Light Tactical Vehicles. Nywick Atlantic takes these vehicles and adds all of the bells and whistles needed to make it a war-ready machine that provides all of the necessary technological capabilities our warfighters need.
Coming up, we've got an interview with Jenny Bennett and Catherine Lobb, Nywick Atlantic Integrated Product Team Leads, who chat with us about Nywick Atlantic's innovation around the JLTV. And then we have a military moment with Staff Sergeant Irene Suarez, who shares her experiences from her career in the Marine Corps. So get comfy, turn up that volume, and let's get started.
Thank you so much for joining us on the podcast. Can you please introduce yourselves and let everyone know who we're listening to?
Sure. I am Jenny Bennett. I'm the Modern Vehicle Fielding IPT lead here at Nywick.
Hi, this is Catherine Lobb. I provide program management support for Jenny's IPT.
Great. Well, awesome to have you guys. We've got a lot of knowledge in the room here. Very excited about that. And we're going to kick things off with such a hard question to start. What exactly is a JLTV? Let the audience know, and why is it important for the warfighter?
Sure. I will start off with that question. This is Jenny, and Catherine can jump in with anything that she would like to add. So the JLTV stands for the Joint Light Tactical Vehicle. It is basically the replacement of the Humvee out in the field. The Humvee moved fast and moved a lot of people around. However, it was not as safe as, say, something like the MRAP that was heavy duty. And so the JLTV is better armored than the Humvee was to better protect our warfighter.
Can you explain a little bit about what Nywick Atlantic's role is in the JLTV process and what your team does to ensure that these vehicles are going out to the warfighter?
Sure. So Nywick Atlantic here, our team, we have a team of engineers, cyber, technicians, integrators. Basically, we do what is called C5ISR, which is command, control, communications, computers, cyber, intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance. I know that's a mouthful.
That is a mouthful.
But basically, yeah. What we do is allow the JLTV to perform any kind of communications on the move to ensure that we are protecting the warfighters, that they can communicate out on the battlefield and do those critical movements amongst the team.
And you all do this kind of work for all branches of the military, is that right?
Absolutely. We do Air Force, Navy, Marine Corps, Army, and we've just recently got involved in foreign military sales.
That's awesome. So basically what you guys are doing is you're taking a lot of the technology that's inside these JLTVs and kind of securing it and modifying it so the warfighter has the best communications capabilities possible. am I simplifying it too much, or is that kind of the idea?
No, that's absolutely true. Basically, if you were to go to a Toyota dealership, you can buy the base model or you can buy the super upgraded model. We take the base model truck and we turn it into the super upgraded model for the warfighter.
I love it. That's a great analogy. Awesome. And about how many JLTVs does Niwic Atlantic work on at any given time?
So we turn out roughly about 80 a month, but if we were to go into wartime status, there has been a time when we were on the MRAP project where we were turning out like up to 50 a day.
Wow.
What are some of the recent milestones that you all have achieved over the last couple of years?
So I'll let Catherine start with the FMS, because we've come a long way with that project. That was took us a good while to get that off the ground, and then I'll plug in some other.
Yes, one of our more recent programs was the foreign military sales, where we designed and integrated for a foreign country.
Additionally, you guys came out to do a Facebook for us. We did 500 Air Force JLTVs. We've done well over 3,000. They've written a couple articles about that on the Marine Corps side. Marine Corps was on the forefront of a lot of what we do for the JLTV. So we leverage a lot of processes and workflows that we've learned, lessons learned from the Marine Corps side that we've leveraged on Air Force, we leverage on FMS to be better. Recently, we started doing the prototyping of the Navy trucks. So that's something that's kind of new, hasn't completely taken off, but we're working through that. And then we do a lot of Army integration out in the field.
So tell us a little bit about how your work with the JLTVs supports testing here with other Niwic Atlantic departments.
Sure, absolutely. So we recently did a test with the submarine group. What we do a lot of times is we kind of mock test, mock conversations where we're pretending like we're talking to a submarine, we're talking to a boat, different vehicles are communicating across to each other, just to ensure that that connectivity and those comms are what they should be, and any ways that we can better other projects and programs through what we've leveraged and learned on the JLTV project.
I think this is a wonderful thing that you guys do, because it really shows how good this Niwic Atlantic, you know, command is at ensuring we're using our own resources, our own talents, to quickly test even more capabilities that we're working on. So the fact that we are able to work on JLTVs across all branches of the military and then use that knowledge that we have nearby and test more capabilities that we're working on outside of your department is just very exciting. I think a really good use of resources and a really good way to more efficiently develop great capabilities for the warfighter.
I agree with you.
You all are doing amazing work in the technical fields all across Niwic Atlantic, but can you tell us a little bit about the teams, the men and women who are doing this great work, and how are they enjoying the process of being able to support the warfighter?
Sure. That's something that I'm very proud of. I've worked through a couple of different groups in the command before I got here, and a lot of times you don't get to actually see the things that you've designed and built and how they affect the warfighter. I've been out to some live fire events where we've tested some things out, and with the warfighter, we take their suggestions into consideration when we're working on things. So a lot of times we get out there and kind of, you know, feel out everybody. Our teams, like I mentioned before, they're made up of, you know, cyber, software, a lot of things that, you know, you look at the truck, right? And you think it's just a truck, you jump in it and go, but it actually has different computers that tie into different radio systems that tie into the transmission. These vehicles do what's called fording, which means that they will lift up so that they can traverse any kind of terrain. But, you know, that takes programming, that takes, you know, cyber to make sure that we're keeping those trucks safe. So it's a lot more involved and intricate than, you know, just being a truck. So I really appreciate how we get to get out there and see the fruition of what we've designed and done.
And I'll add to that, as somebody who's not very technical, I provide program management support and go to a lot of the meetings and take a lot of the minutes. We have had students who've come through our facility, and just watching them get to view the vehicles and watch engineers. Obviously, for young people, engineering is a field that they want to go into. They think it's a great field to be in, but can't really visualize what that looks like in the real world. And I just think it's so great that we go to work every day, and I sit down at my desk, and maybe I sit on a Teams call, but I get up from my desk and I walk over to vehicles and watch people integrating things that I know will directly impact our warfighters, and to every day have that opportunity. I've supported some great programs here. Some of them were software based. It makes it a little trickier to see how it comes to fruition and how it really directly impacts the warfighters. But when I watch vehicles leaving our facility, I'm always really proud of the work we're doing.
You were speaking of the students that have come in to watch what you're doing. Can you explain what are some of the degrees that potential employee would need to take to be able to work in your field?
Sure. So we have mechanical engineers that have done mechanical engineering. We have cyber, which usually is either cyber specific or computer science. We have programmers. We have electrical engineers, you know, because you don't want to have a thermal event on the truck, of course. And then we also have people that have like certifications and just know a lot about vehicles. So you don't necessarily have to be, you know, degree, you could be a technician. We have some of those. So we're kind of all encompassing, I feel like, on our IPT.
So what advice do you guys have for someone who may be interested in this line of work someday, like type of skills they need, type of mindset they need to work for the government and for the warfighter?
So in my opinion, since I started in a completely different field before I got over to the vehicle life, and that's a question that has been asked for some of the new professionals that have come through, and I told them that, you know, I started off as a program manager, and I actually kind of dabbled in some networking stuff before I got here. So it's just an interest. If you have an interest in the trucks, and don't think because you see a truck and, oh, I really want to do computers, that you can't, because we have that. Radios. Basically, I feel like on our IPT, because it's so vast, the things that we're doing on those trucks, that really anything that interests you, go for it. And don't think, oh, I don't know anything about trucks, so I can't do that. No, come learn. We are welcoming. We let people do rotations, interns. We accept anybody who's interested in coming over to learn about our trucks. So we very much enjoy that. And I don't think that it has to be like, oh, I have to go get this mechanical engineering degree or I can't. No, please, whatever you want to do, I'm sure it's on that truck.
I was going to say, and within our IPT, every time we build out a new project and think about the skill sets of folks that we need to support, it runs across the board. And that's one of the nice things about NIWC, is you can follow different career paths and kind of meander through and learn new things on new projects and take those to following projects and then continue to build. Like I said, I've supported several programs here. Every single one, you pick up something that helps feed your new program. And I just think, like Jenny said, we have really great folks that do a lot of different things. We have great finance people, and even they get to come over and see vehicles and see that productivity on a regular basis. So it's a nice reminder. Even contracts folks come over sometimes, mm-hmm. just because they do a lot of work for us and don't always get to see where that work leads. So Jenny's great about bringing people over when there are events so that they see what they did and how they impacted the warfighter directly as well.
Awesome. And for those who may not know, IPT means Integrated Product Team, correct?
Yes.
Oops,
I left that out.
You guys have such passion in your voices when you talk about this, and I absolutely love it. I love hearing how proud you are of your team and of your work, and it makes me excited to hear about what we're doing and the importance of it. So thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Thank you. We appreciate the time and the opportunity to come out here and kind of interact with you guys and just, you know, share what we do, because we are proud. We do love the work, the team, everybody. So it's something we're very proud of.
Yeah, and we love to celebrate our milestones. I know we recently celebrated the 500th, so we're looking forward to having you guys back when we hit that next big milestone.
Love it.
Thank you for sharing those opportunities with us.
They were so fun to speak with, Alex, full of energy and knowledge. They touched on a few very cool capabilities the team at NIWC Atlantic helped create, like the software that helps the vehicle adjust to terrain and secure communications with submarines, which is kind of mind-blowing.
Yes, and there seems to be a bunch of paths to be able to work on that technology. You just need to have the know-how, interest, and dedication to the mission. Another person dedicated to our mission is Staff Sergeant Irene Suarez. Let's listen to her interview. Thank you, Staff Sergeant, for joining me today. So when did you realize that you wanted to join the Marines?
Good afternoon, sir. Well, initially, I was in college of my freshman year in community college, playing soccer and obviously going to these classes. At the time, I just felt something was missing from my life. The recruiter actually came up to me, again, probably just knew something was missing at the time. And amongst many things that he told me during that time, he sold me with go big or go home and joining the best branch there is out there. And I've loved it ever since.
It sounds like you made a really great choice in joining the Marines. Can you tell me a little bit more about the job and what your duties entail?
So I'm actually a 6046, an aviation maintenance data specialist. Ultimately, I'm pretty much dealing with aircraft hours, aircraft logbooks, depending on the type model series, tracking hours, maintenance work hour. Maintenance worker hours, flight times, and anything revolving around the aircraft.
That really sounded interesting, Staff Sergeant. Now, can you tell me a little bit about the work you do for NAWIC Atlantic?
So here I'm actually an UMA fleet liaison or optimized organizational or intermediate, depending on the squadron site themselves, maintenance activity fleet support liaison. So UMA is a database system that pretty much tracks, again, all these aircraft, all their component times, all their maintenance hours, any tasks or any maintenance that needs to get done to those specific aircraft. Here at NAWIC, I actually assist the fleet, both sailors and Marines, if they have any database systems or they're having any errors, or just assisting them pretty much get around the database error, or just assisting them with troubleshooting, because not many people know the right way to go about things, or just sometimes they just get a random glitch in their database. So that's where I come in to at least assist in that way and help make things easier for them once they're out there at the squadrons.
So you're now in an office job, but you've also had experience in the field with your fellow Marines. Which one do you prefer more?
Oh, you set me up. So I will say I personally like being back at the squadron. There's just a different feeling to having junior Marines, even senior leadership as well too. But again, all of us working together to ensure that our pilots are flying the aircraft, that respective missions are getting done. So prior to this or two duty stations ago, I was stationed in Okinawa, Japan. Out there, whether it be in the Philippines or Thailand, if we ever needed to go out for humanitarian operations or anything like that, again, because we were attached to the MU, we were the first ones to get called out. So it was things like that, like making sure that we were a part of accomplishing the mission to make sure anything that was needed in the Philippines, anything that was needed out there in Japan, there was no stoppage, but instead it was okay, how can we help some more? So I like that. Not that we don't have that at NAWIC, because again, we all contribute. I just think it's a little slower paced for me. But again, you learn and grow from every experience you go through.
Do you have any advice that you would give to someone who's interested in joining the military, or in your case, the Marine Corps?
For the military in general, I would say, do it. This was never, in the back of my mind. My dad was actually in the military back in Ecuador, though, and years ago. And his time was very different than what it was when I joined, and even today. So that was never an area I was ever going to go for. But like I said, once I joined the military and found out about all these experiences and so much growth the military provides in general, regardless of the military branch, I was all in. I was sold out because, again, at that time, I was very young. I didn't think I had a sense of direction, and the military did that for me. Now, the Marine Corps in itself, I kind of always compare it to my mom. My mom is the strict one in the house, so I liked the Marine Corps values, the discipline, and as you may know, if when everybody thinks of Marines, it's the best of the best, and I always try to keep that mentality going forward, but that's just me. It's my favorite.
I can sense your pride of being a Marine, and I appreciate your service and the work that you do for our military. Thank you for joining us on the podcast. I really enjoyed speaking with Staff Sergeant Suarez. She had an amazing career and has continued to make a difference not only here at NIWC Atlantic, but through other efforts as well in her community.
It sounded like you had a great conversation, so loved listening to that. And we are approaching the end of this episode. Another great one down, many more to come. I learned so much about the work we're doing with JLTV. Super impressed. I also learned to try to stay away from jellyfish, which is always important in life, right? Or you know what? They're not that bad, at least in Maryland anyway. They're not that bad. I can't speak for any that are around Florida. Would not want to touch
those.
Yes,
just got to be careful when you're out in the water.
Absolutely. All right. As always, to learn more about anything we've mentioned in the podcast, check out our social medias under NAVWAR or our NIWC Atlantic website. Links are in the description.
That wraps up another great episode. As always, we thank you for listening. If you have a tip or story that you think should be included in this podcast, please contact us at our public affairs email address, which is listed in the description.
Naval Information Warfare Center Atlantic, also known as NIWC, is the East Coast branch of the Naval Information Warfare Systems Command within the Department of the Navy. We develop a range of technologies that provide state-of-the-art capabilities to the United States military.